Today we come to our 10th message in this series on individual witnessing, entitled Telling the Story. Now, first of all, before we go into the lesson for today, let me give you a brief summary of our main points up to date. First, we pointed out that God intends that every Christian should be a fisher of men. The Lord Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." There is no excuse for your not being a fisher of men, because the Lord Jesus has asked us to do nothing but what he also promises, to give us the needed wisdom and strength to do it. He has promised to make you a fisher of men if you will but follow him. And then you must equip yourself, first of all, with a working knowledge of the Bible, especially through committing scripture verses to memory. And along that line, by today, if you have been following faithfully since first we began, you should have read carefully the two booklets, Beginning with Christ and Going On with Christ. In addition to that, you will have committed to memory the four verses found in the little pack at the back of Beginning with Christ, and also you will have memorized the eight verses that are in the back of the booklet called Going On with Christ. If this is the case, you no doubt are experiencing the great blessing of having portions from the Word of God written on the tables of your heart and available to the Spirit of God to call to your mind, not only for personal witnessing, but for your own meditation and victory over sin. Then, we talked about establishing a daily quiet time, a time for Bible meditation and prayer. Have you been averaging at least 15 minutes a day? I trust so. Then we discussed the absolute necessity for the personal worker, the witness for Christ, to rely upon the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. Then we discussed the laying of the groundwork for personal witnessing by praying and by looking for opportunities. And then we discussed the approach. That first of all, you must get going. You must get out to where the fish are, so to speak. And then you must win the confidence of the person that you would seek to win for Christ, and thereby win a hearing for the wonderful gospel message. In order to do this, we must first find out what his interests are, his legitimate interests, that we might be interested in them, and show him thereby that we love him and that we're interested in him. This is what you might call using bait. Now I realize that we are primarily interested in the message that we want to bring, and it means temporarily setting aside, so to speak, what you and I are interested in order to interest ourselves in that which is occupying his mind and attention. But that's using bait. Now I personally like ham sandwiches. But I have discovered that certain fish seem to prefer worms to ham sandwiches. So as much as I love ham sandwiches and do not like worms, I still bait the hook with worms. And so it is with witnessing for Christ. We must use bait that appeals to the person that we would seek to win. And we have only to look at the example of the Lord Jesus to see how he did this. See him with the woman at the well, there for a drink, offering her living water. Well, when the opening comes, and you have made the approach, then we come to telling the story. And that's where we pick up today. And there are three things that I want to mention today. One is getting the opening to tell the gospel story. Two is some do's and don'ts in telling the story. And then three, above all, be sure that you tell them the true gospel story. Now as to the first, getting the opening to tell the story. This is a difficult thing for me to talk about. I cannot give you some formula or some rule that will be infallible that you can always follow. But here are some suggestions that will help you to get an opening to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to another individual. And one is to use an appropriate, tasteful gospel tract. There are many good gospel tracts that are available. But rather than just shoving it into a person's hand, you could approach them something like this. You might say, "Here's something that I would like you to read that would be well worth a thinking person's time. Read it over, and then later on I'll ask you what you think about it." Or use some such approach to show the person that behind your handing them the tract is your own personal interest. Another way to get an opening to tell the gospel story is to simply ask permission. That is, ask permission if you might speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you could ask them something like this: "May I tell you about something that has meant more to me than anything else in my life?" You see, this will open up a way and will show courteousness and thoughtfulness to the person to whom you would witness. I remember one day when I got on an elevator to go up to my office when I lived in Seattle, Washington. I got on the elevator and said to the operator, I said, "Polly, you know, I have told you about my wife and the family and how much they mean to me, but I feel a little bad about something, and it's this, that I have found something that means more to me than married life. It means more to me than being a father, and I haven't told you about it." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Well, I'm afraid if I start to tell you now, you'll get another call. But sometime when you have 15 minutes, I'd like to share with you that which means more than anything else in life to me." Well, as you can well imagine, she had that 15 minutes in her next lunch hour, which gave me a wonderful opportunity to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And this is one reason why we suggested to you that you have your own personal testimony clearly in mind, that you could share it with another person, because that is a wonderful way to get an opening to tell others what the Lord Jesus has meant to you. You recall in one of our previous messages on Acts 22:14 and 15, we pointed out that witnessing is simply taking a good look at the Lord Jesus Christ and then telling others what we have seen. Or as the passage in Acts 22 points out, we are to take time to look and listen, that we might share with others simply what we have seen and heard of the Lord Jesus. But whatever you do, as you look for the Lord to give you an opening to share the gospel, always be courteous. Remember that. Thoughtful courteousness is always in order. In 2 Timothy 2:24, and here is a key passage, 2 Timothy 2:24, it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." And the next verse, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." At the same time, to be courteous and gentle does not mean to be devious, but rather we should come right out, right straight to the point. My own experience in personal witnessing in these recent years has shown me that people appreciate it if you will, in an unembarrassed, polite way, come right out straight from the shoulder and go straight to the point of what Jesus Christ means to you. They do not appreciate so much the back door, devious method of approach. And may I also suggest this: when you get to the point, stick to the point. Don't let somebody get you off by saying, "Well, what about the contradictions in the Bible? Well, where did Cain get his wife?" If you can't show him where Cain got his wife, you could say, "Well, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure there must be one. But here is something I do know, and that is I know that the Lord Jesus Christ can change a life. He's changed mine. I know what it means to walk with him daily." And you see, bring them back to Christ, to the main point. If you will study in John chapter 4 of the Lord Jesus dealing with the woman at the well, you'll notice in how many ways she tried to get him off the track, but he always brought her back to the main point. And so, stick to the point. All right, now for some do's and don'ts in telling the story. Some things to do and some things not to do. Here's one, a don't. Don't presuppose a negative response. I fear that many of us approach a person about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel just assuming that they are going to disagree with us. And somehow or other, that attitude on our own part does call for a negative response on theirs. But instead, we should assume a positive response, knowing that deep down in their hearts, the Holy Spirit will give them a conviction that they know that this is the truth, whether they outwardly admit it or not. And then for a do bring them face to face with the person of Jesus Christ. Remember, it is Christ who saves, not a theory or not even a system of doctrine, but the person of Christ. Be certain that you bring them face to face with Jesus Christ himself. And then another do. As soon as you are into the interview, use your Bible. Show them from the Bible what God has to say. Turn from one scripture to the other. Then, you see, the Holy Spirit has a weapon to use to pierce that heart. As we said once before, the Bible is the seed which you are to plant in the soil of that heart. Then the Holy Spirit will work a miracle and give the increase. So use the Word of God. And as you do this, you will see all the more the importance of Scripture memory. And then, don't try to force a person. Remember that this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and you cannot force a miracle to be done. And indeed, the new birth is a miracle. Then another, never, never, never argue. As soon as you start an argument, the other person has quit listening to you, and certainly is just waiting for you to finish so they can make a statement. No, it is not necessary to argue, nor should you. And furthermore, keep it simple. And then, finally, above all, be sure that you share with them the gospel. There are many messages, I fear, that I have heard that are supposedly gospel messages but have not proclaimed the gospel in my mind. You see, the gospel concerns a certain body of facts. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel, the facts of the gospel, that Satan has blinded people's minds. Well, what is the gospel, you say? Well, I know of no better definition of the gospel than that which is given in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Let me read it to you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There you have a scriptural definition of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And whatever else you say in personal witnessing, be sure that you get to the gospel. Now, next time, we're going to go into the matter of the gospel more in detail. But in the meantime, would you daily review the 12 verses that you have learned thus far in this series? And then, I suggest to you that if at all possible, you enroll in the topical memory system that is described on page 14 of the little book, Beginning with Christ. That's all for now. Next time, we'll go into the gospel story.